This is a Redshirt Geeks special podcast for PsyCon Tampa.
And so it begins.
Files accessed. Transfer of data complete.
Commencing.
By these frackin' toasters, we are the Redshirt Geeks.
Redshirt Geeks!
Shoot the proton torpedoes and, like, make us go that way.
Redshirt Geeks!
Very bad feeling.
Shut up, Wesley!
Redshirt Geeks!
Hello, my name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die.
Redshirt Geeks!
Hide behind the mound. Dead bar.
Make it so.
Redshirt Geeks!
I'm Laz D, the pseudo-Kiwi.
And I'm Dave, the dysfunctional dork.
And this is part two of a special four-part series on PsyCon Tampa 2014.
Redshirt Geeks!
PsyCon Tampa!
All right, folks, we have the first of four wonderful guests, actually five wonderful guests this coming week. The first being Nikki Klein from, of course, most people know her from Battlestar Galactica, but we're going to talk about her with her a little bit more about some stuff she's been working on lately, primarily PsyCon Tampa, which is the primary reason for these special little episodes this week. So, you know, thank you, Nikki, for joining us. It's really, really good to have you with us this week.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Yeah, we're, we are more than happy to be able to go ahead and promote such a fantastic idea. You know, we've been kind of watching PsyCon Tampa go with its first year and really speed up with what's going on. And we're really happy to see you actually lending your talents towards such a great event. And, you know, sort of tell us a little bit more how you got involved.
With PsyCon?
Yeah.
Well, you know, since I started Battlestar, probably after the first year, I got invited to my first convention. And it's been quite an adventure, you know, going to these different conventions over the years. And I met someone at Galacticon, which was an incredible event that many of the Battlestar cast was able to come together in Houston for. And I spoke to some people there, and they invited me to PsyCon in Tampa. And, of course, any event with Richard is such a blast. We've become really good friends over the years. And Jack was also at Galacticon, so it'll be great to see him again. Yeah, actually, Galacticon was cool because they had the old and the new. And it was a great opportunity for us to kind of reflect and compare and give each other a hard time, but also celebrate all the wonderfulness that is the Battlestar franchise, you know?
Yeah, definitely. It's always especially great, you know, when you can take some of the actors who played Cylons in the new series and you can put them up against, you know, a mannequin of the original Cylon, you know, kind of come a long way, you know?
Definitely.
Yeah. I mean, from what we've seen, again, we're watching all this come together. And again, you know, you said that a lot of this comes from your Galactica days, and with being able to be a part of such a fantastic franchise, you do have the opportunity to meet such wonderful people and really talented people. And, you know, for us on this side of this side of the screen, if you like, we've watched, you know, probably, you know, over and watched everything over and over, both the old and the new. You know, Dave has the wonderful, benefit of having a little bit of con history himself through family ties, and he's kind of, you know, again, when we started talking about this, he's like, oh, you know, this is going to be great. Yeah, we're going to be able to talk about all of the wonderful little sort of things that go on during these events. And again, you know, you talk about Richard and Jack, and, you know, when you're sort of seeing how all of this culminates into, like a cult status, you know, does it sort of take you back, you know, when you go to these events, and sort of have people like, oh my God, that's Callie, or, oh my God, you know, what it just look at, you know, then they're sort of, they're kind of enamored on you with, you know, they've been watching you on TV for so many years. Now you're kind of like, you know, I'm here, you know. Does it take you back a little bit?
Oh, definitely. And it really is like a big family. I have to say, and I don't know if it would be different if I was on a different kind of show that wasn't so well written, so well done. I'm really proud and honored to be part of Battlestar, so that I think makes a big difference. But our team, the Battlestar team, is such a close-knit group, and we became just really close. And I think being able to be part of something that was so impactful and successful and really raised a lot of important questions, I think we all felt very connected to the purpose of the project and how it reached people. So we have our family, but I think the family feeling extends far beyond, where, you know, when I meet people at conventions, I feel a connection to them genuinely. And I, you know, I think it's nice that they appreciate my character, and you know, obviously, like, it's great. It's really nice, and I appreciate compliments, but so much more than that, being able to connect with people and have an understanding of what Battlestar means to them, and to be able to share that with them, because personally and from my experience, both with fans and just my own, I think it was so much more than just a TV show. I think it really brought a lot to people's lives. And so to come together and celebrate that is such an incredible opportunity. So I love it. And I love meeting fans. I mean, I also think that Battlestar fans are some of the best and the smartest. I mean, I know I'm biased, but I have a lot of evidence to support that, because they ask amazing questions. And I think that's also due to the fact that Battlestar raised such important questions, so it really got people thinking, and, you know, kind of stirred things up politically, socially, culturally, all those things. So I just love it.
You could have been any further from, you know, I mean, absolutely, this is a culture that has been cultivated over the years. And you know, when we spoke to Richard, we weren't expecting it. We tapped a little bit on how, you know, he played his character Tom Zarek,
I think we just mentioned the name Tom Zarek, and he took it and ran for the next 10 minutes.
I know. Yeah, I have a tendency to do that too. Like at conventions, when I do Q&As or something, people will ask me some really probably benign question that they want to know, like, what pranks we did on set, and then I'll go on this long monologue about, you know, technology and ethics, and but I love it.
It's, I mean, obviously, you know, you have these great opportunities to connect with people.
Yeah.
And one thing, you know, we've been seeing, but with this with SciCon Tampa in particular, is that it's not just people who are on TV shows coming together and meeting with fans and talking. It seems like it's a real good opportunity to cultivate the geek culture altogether. Not just say, hey, you know, hey, it's Nikki Klein, hey, it's Richard Hatch, and hey, it's not Aaron Eisenberg, you know, whatever, or Jack Stoff, or whoever. You know, we got so many great people there. It's not just these people sort of showing up at a hotel and hanging out with some fans. It's an opportunity to launch a new way to, I guess, again, cultivate that geek culture, and so that we can grow as a fan base. You know, I mean, one of the things that, you know, I mean, I'm kind of in my middle age now, and for me, we used to have a saying that geek used to be a 4-letter word, now it's a 6-figure word. and again, you have this, yeah, you have this wonderful opportunity to cultivate a culture where people come together and just enjoying being who they are, no matter how mainstream or how different they are. So, you know, again, it's wonderful to see part of this.
Yeah, I completely agree. I learned very quickly that it was nice. It's nice for us to be there, but it's really not about us in terms of us being the media guest. What I've experienced is that it's about the community and people being able to come together over something that they love, which is unfortunately kind of rare. I mean, a lot of people come together over things that they don't like or things that they're unhappy with or things they think are unjust. But to come together and, like you say, be able to be themselves and express something that may not be always accepted in their normal lives, or just they don't have the venue to be able to share and express it on a day-to-day basis, is so cool. And I appreciate that so much. And the fact that they like the actors to come and hang out and share that with them, I think is great. And I feel honored to be a part of it.
Yeah, that's absolutely the case. And I mean, it's not just that they get to, you know, share what they love with everyone else, but they get introduced to stuff that other people love, seeing it in such like a broad base area, you know, because you'll have the convention that has a little bit of everything, you know, and it's great, you know, especially to hear, you know, the actors and actresses talk about, you know, doing what they love, the characters that they portray. You know, maybe you have somebody in the audience that maybe you find that rare soul that hasn't ever seen Battlestar Galactica. And maybe you can bring that to their lives and introduce a new love for them.
It has absolutely happened. I will say, I've had people who at the start of a convention, they're like, "I've never seen your show," and there's sort of this like pride to it. I'm like, okay, sure. that's fine. And then they come to a few panels and they see how much fun we have and how much people love the show, and then they sort of loiter around the table and are like, "Yeah, looks pretty cool." And then, you know, the con is starting to pack up and they come back and they're like, "Okay, I'm going to get one of your photos because I'm going to regret it and I'm going to watch your show." So yeah. And I'm like, "Okay, awesome. I hope you like it."
Yeah. "Please don't hate it. Thank you. Awesome."
Oh yeah. The best is when you can find those people that almost seem like, you know, they've got that attitude of they're too cool to watch it or something like that. And then you totally change their mind.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and there was a lot of that. I think most of the people who were really hung up on the old show being the one and upset about the new show, I think most of those people have come around. I haven't met as many of those these days, but I
know one.
I'm not gonna
name any names, but I happen to be quite close to this person.
Got it. So. Yeah, and I think what they eventually realize is that it's a completely different thing. Sure. That it's not meant to replace it. It's not in any way meant to dishonor it. In fact, it's the opposite. It's really meant to honor it and take all the wonderful things about it and create something new. So hopefully people feel that way.
Yeah, I would say that, you know, and again, that's what we try to do here at Retro Geeks, is we try to make a place on the internet where it doesn't matter what you enjoy, what your passion is, whether it be comic books, whether it be movies, you know, any genre of movie, TV series, games of any kind, you name it. It's sort of, we're trying to make that home where people can just come in and find whatever they're looking for and be able to express the same thing, you know, be able to share those ideas. And with that in mind, you know, again, we were put on to looking at Blaster before the interview tonight, and we sat there and looked at some of these articles, some of these shows, the videos and stuff that are on there, and immediately we just thought, you know, these people have it switched on. They know exactly where they're going. I mean, it was great that you had that you guys have the fan base and the power of sci-fi behind you, but I would dare say from what I've seen so far that even if you didn't have that, you guys would still stand well on your own. You know, everything I've seen so far looks fantastic, and I love to go over your PG-13 story in depth when we have an opportunity. But you know, again, you know, why don't you tell us a little bit more about how you got involved with that?
Sure. I have to say, in some ways, it was just luck. I've never done, well, I did a hosting job for the Canadian Space Network once.
Nice.
And I loved it. I grew up wanting to be a Much Music VJ, which is the equivalent of MTV, of course,
right,
and just thought that would be super cool. So I kind of had that in me. And, I got introduced to an agent who does hosting, but he kind of told me, like, he didn't really know what to do with me because I'm not the red carpet entertainment host type person, and I don't necessarily want to be, you know, the whole, like, what are you wearing type, type role. Exactly. And I'm not necessarily a qualified expert in a certain area, which is other the other types of people that he handles. So, but we met and he said, well, I'll keep you in mind for things. And then he called me and this audition came around that was for this, for sci-fi. And it, I read it and I was like, oh my God, I'm perfect for this. Are you kidding me? So I went to the audition and even though I really, I thought it would be great when I got there and I saw the other people there for the audition. And it was one of these really awkward situations where the only thing separating the place where they were doing the audition and the waiting room was a curtain. Oh, so okay. It was awful. I mean, so I don't know. Everything. It's an actor's worst nightmare where you can hear everything the person before you is doing and you know that everyone can hear you, but you kind of just have to switch that off and do what you got to do.
Right.
But I, you know, I just, again, I still wasn't confident that I had this host quality, which I don't know what I thought that was, but I guess I told myself, I was like, well, if that's what they're looking for, I'm probably not it. I'll just be myself, and if that's what they're looking for, then great, and I think I can do the job. So I went in, I did the audition, and they liked it, and they gave me, I mean, I didn't hear from them for a couple months even, so I was sure that I wasn't going to do it, and then my agent told me they were sending me an offer, and when I met with Craig Engler, who's no longer with Sci-Fi, but at the time was the head of their some department. I'm not sure. He was the one who did the Sci-Fi Twitter handle and made it very successful for quite a while doing Q&As and stuff. But he said it was so funny because they saw my audition and they're like, oh, she's great. This is, you know, she'd be perfect. And then they realized who I was, which, you know, made it even a little better because obviously the geek cred goes a little, helps a little.
Right.
But yeah, I love the team. You know, I think the writers, like the producer helps and we all kind of collaborate. I think since the beginning we've been evolving and developing more a sense of what we want it to be and where we want it to go. And, you know, you mentioned the PG-13 episode, which I think is a lot more, I don't know if educational isn't the right word exactly. That sounds a little dry, but I want people to come away feeling like, oh, that's cool. I learned something or have something to think about or talk about.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I'm not even tooting your horn. I mean, like, I watched that and I was like, wow, I didn't realize that PG-13 started in 84, you know.
Right.
I didn't know that was the first movie. I didn't know because of this. Like, I really, everything in that was educational to me.
Yeah.
And it was a blast. I enjoyed watching it.
Awesome.
It's funny. In regards to this particular story, we got talking a little bit afterwards, and it was sort of, I noted that you know, this particular rating, it has such a unique placing in how films are rated today, because one that brought right immediately to mind was the Hunger Games Catching Fire movie, and we were sitting there, and I remember I was in the theater watching this, and we're in the part where Joanna Mason is talking. She's been interviewed before the games, and she drops the F-bomb twice. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, you know, I thought, oh, okay, that's, you know, it didn't bother me, but what really caught my attention is that the second time she did it, they bleeped it out. I'm like, I looked at my wife, and I'm like, did they just bleep the F word in a feature film? What?
Wow, that's so interesting.
Yeah, and I came back, I did some little research on it, and it's actually because of the PG-13 rating. Okay. You can only have it once.
Yep.
So, yep. And of course, we're sitting here watching, I'm just like, I knew that. I totally knew that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, again, you know, like I said, we're going to be watching a lot of this, a lot more of this now.
Oh, I can already tell you right now, the one I can't wait to watch next, you know, I'm looking right here. See, you know, pub crawl the verse as BSG's Nikki Klein visits the best sci-fi bars.
Yeah,
I can't wait to watch that one.
That was a lot of fun. That was actually one of the first episodes we shot almost a year ago. And I don't want to spoil it, but there's something fun that relates to drinking and singing and Klingon at the very end. Just putting it out there.
Oh, I can't wait to see it.
Fantastic. I mean, I'm looking at the screen cap for the episode, and I'm already seeing, you've already got me hooked. I'm seeing Dreadus on there, so, you know, I'm just like, yep, this is going to be great.
Yeah, well, please let me know what you think, and feel free to share or comment, because certainly, you know, would love more people to watch it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, that's one thing we're really into is anytime we find something that's really cool, we're sharing it with everybody we can. Sometimes we overlap each other because we're just like, oh my, you know, oh my God, we gotta find this. This is so great. We gotta, you know, share it with everybody. And then that's sort of what happens. So yeah, we'll definitely keep an eye, you know, keep more of an eye on this. We'll probably go through the entire backlog of everything and watch it just because that's what we do. We're fans.
Awesome.
But, you know, again, speaking of fans, you know, and I'll, you know, sort of when we've had a chance to talk about things, and just before we let you go tonight, I'll share some behind the scenes information on our good host Dave here that might make you laugh a little bit, but but you know, with you know, want to sort of go on to your time with Battlestar Galactica, and again, this is really for our fans out there who. You know, most of us who have been, who are on this show or have been on this show, you know, we watched it over and over, and not only did we watch it, we brought people in to watch it. And a lot of it, I mean, right from the get-go, we had, fantastic stories. We had, an amazing cast. We had people on there who, for the most part, you know, Americans hadn't seen, you know, I mean, I still remember seeing James Callis for the first time and thinking, where has this guy been?
Yeah.
and he's an amazing, you know, British actor. And again, I think maybe the most people might have seen of Mary McDonnell is her role in Independence Day. So it's kind of, you know, you start seeing all this, you know, I mean, we could go on and on about how many great people, including yourself, have been on this show, but, you know, what is it like? What is it like when you walk in there every day and you know that you're stepping into an area that people just absolutely can't get enough of? I mean, they wait. They're sitting there with bated breath week after week waiting for us to come. And then, and waiting for that during that hiatus for the next season to come out. What's it like for you?
Well, it wasn't like that in the beginning. I mean, I didn't know. I didn't know what it was to become. I think from the beginning, Edward James Olmos was such a leader and an advocate on set, and he was adamant about telling us that this was going to change our lives, and especially to people like Katie, you know, who were really going to be in the spotlight, and Grace and the other leads of the show, and you know, I was pretty naive and I was like, yeah, that's great that you're excited, but you know, for me, I was so fortunate. I was living in Vancouver at the time, and as I'm sure you know, they film quite a few sci-fi shows there, things like Stargate and Andromeda, and they shot X-Files there, a number of things. So to me, it didn't stand out. I mean, after I read the script and everything, I was like, oh wow, this is really good. But I didn't understand the scope. And of course, at the beginning, none of us did, because after the miniseries, we didn't even know if it was going to get picked up for a full season.
Sure.
So it really was a gradual process, and which I'm honestly really grateful for, because I sort of got to appreciate every step of the way, and it wasn't one of those things where overnight suddenly everything is different. It was, I feel like we really earned it, and I feel like it was, you know, I remember the first time I was on an episode of Dark Angel a long time ago when I first started, and it was the first time I ever got mentioned on the internet. And I was like, oh, my God, my name is on the internet. Like, this is crazy, you know. And obviously things are different now with social media because everyone's name is on the internet. But it was, like, a big deal. And I was excited and nervous. And I, like, would check it. And I'm like, did they write something about me? And, like, my mom would send me things. And so, you know, that compared to now where, like, I don't even check things. And there's – because it's just so huge, but it was really gradual. So I guess, you know, I didn't have such the understanding, although, you know, after the first couple seasons, I did more so. But it's the kind of thing that, honestly, the weight of it, I feel more and more, even now. And reflecting, and I feel like I get such a deeper understanding of what it meant to walk on that set now, even more than I did then, which I guess is like many things in life where it just takes time and you get wiser, you get older, and you understand better what things mean. But I don't know. I was just going to work.
Sure.
And a really fun job.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I can imagine being on a show as big as Battlestar. It can kind of be daunting to see what people are writing about you one way or the other on the internet, you know, because I can imagine that, you know, in your position, you know, not only do you have fans that are loving your character and loving everything that your character does, but you also have the fans that condemn it, you know, like, so what if he was a robot? He loved you, you know, and like, how would you curse the chief, you know?
I actually have some funny stories about that because at the beginning, I think Callie was a pretty, like, she didn't do that much. She was just there and pretty likable, you know, like she would come in and fix things and, you know, she didn't have, you didn't see like any other sides of her, which you later did. And that was a different thing, but it was funny because, yeah, mostly I had kind of like this really small supportive fan club, and people had made a webpage and a message board, and they were really sweet and shared things. And then it did get to a point where, I don't know, I guess some sort of tipping point where it started to go the other direction. And there were people who hated Callie, whatever that can mean.
Really?
When it's a TV character, I have no idea. But, you know, people saying these awful things about mostly the character. I don't think I read much about me personally, but mostly the character. And I kind of thought that was actually a good thing, because I think, like, if you are important enough that people want to spend the energy saying negative things about you, then, you know, you've affected them. It means something.
Absolutely.
So yeah. I didn't take it personally. And there's this amazing comic that I can, if you haven't seen it, I can email it to you after. It's just this short comic where it has these, like a comic strip type thing where it has these guys on a couch. And if I remember correctly, they're watching Battlestar and they're like, oh my God, Callie's so whiny. Oh my God, I hate Callie. And then it goes like four panels. And then like Callie goes out the airlock and they're like, no, Callie. You know? So I thought it was so great.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I might have. I might have rolled a tear when that happened.
Look, I was kind of saving this for a little bit later in the conversation, but I'll go ahead and share it with you. And just to let you know, typically when we have a guest or on the show, depending on what, you know, what they've been or what they've done, you know, we like to bestow upon some of our guests the role of honorary red shirt because, they have had a character in some way, shape, or form. In Sean Bean's case, our first honorary redshirt has just had most of his characters die. We would like to bestow upon you for this episode the role, the honor of honorary redshirt for the death of Callie. And we never forgave Tori for that, and we're glad that Galen killed her for it.
Exactly. Thank you so much, Will. I will wear my honorary red shirt proudly.
Well, you're going to have to get the matching tattoo now.
So. Uh-oh.
Wait a minute.
You guys have tattoos?
No, not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Uh-oh.
I've been trying to convince him. Shh, it's okay. But, you know, I mean, again, you know, you've worked with, I mean, and not only have you worked with so many great actors and actresses, a lot of them on the show were your fellow Canadians. So, you know, you know, we've been watching, you know, I mean, of course, you know, there was things like, Aaron Douglas, we've seen him in a few things since Battlestar Galactica, but the one thing is that whenever we see you guys in anything, we immediately, it's like, it's instant recognition. You know, one of the wonderful things I found out, a few months ago is that, Michael Hogan is actually going to be in a feature that we're backing and doing a lot of support for right now, which is Star Trek Axanar.
They actually just got in touch with me.
Oh, nice.
Connected with, through Richard, actually.
Oh, yeah.
I watched the Kickstarter video, and it looked really cool.
Yeah, the Prelude to Axanar is, I mean, as far as a fan-made movie, absolutely, bar none. You know, you can't. Yeah, it just absolutely. I'm sorry. I get flustered when I think about it because I just love. So if you have an opportunity to work with them, I think you're gonna enjoy it immensely. You know, we've interviewed Richard. We've interviewed Alec Peters, the EP for that movie. And we interviewed Gary Graham, who played Saval on Enterprise and Axanar. So if again, if you have the opportunity, I think you're going to enjoy it. But again, you know, we're saying, you know, a lot of people you work with are, you know, are your countrymen, but at the same time, they're really talented people. You know, I guess that's one thing it's for us is, you know, it doesn't matter. That's the beautiful thing is that when we watch these shows, we don't care where you're from. You know, we don't care that most of the people were sort of, you know, like, hey, you know, nobody cares that, you know, this person's from Canada or this person's from England or so on and so forth. We just really enjoy being able to see what they're doing week in and week out.
Yeah, I mean, I really appreciated that the producers or whoever chose the cast was open to casting out of Vancouver, because often what these shows do, like, there's a certain quota they need to meet the union standards of hiring Canadians or at least auditioning them.
Sure.
But I think they realized that there is such a wealth of talent in Vancouver, and they really took advantage of that. I mean, Grace, Aaron, Candace, Rekha, Leah, Luciana, like, it just, the list goes on, and most of the, like, if not the, several of the lead characters and then almost all of the peripheral characters were local, which is awesome. I mean, funny enough, though, in my audition, I did get feedback on my Canadian accent, which I didn't even know I had. Yeah. But
I couldn't peg it.
Luckily, it didn't stop. Well, I got feedback, and I changed it. So
there you go.
Yeah,
you dropped the extra A's, huh?
You know what it was? It was the word story. I said it like that instead of sorry, which, you know, I've lived in the U.S. for many years now, so I don't think I have much of that. I'm fairly adaptable, but at the time I said sorry. Yeah, it was pretty funny.
Oh, I guess the one thing is wonderful is that you also, I mean, after something like this, you get to be able to move on and do other things. Besides Blaster, I mean, and doing the convention circuit. Is there anything else in particular that you're working on right now that you're really, you know, sort of wanted to share with our listeners?
Sure. I mean, I'm working on many projects right now that I'm very excited about, and a few, they're sort of more in development, so I can't share too much, but one is an ethical media company where we've developed scientific standards of analyzing news, which I think is such an important thing for people to be able to think critically about the information that they're taking in. And so we have a whole set of tools and ways of showing people what news does to information, how it spins it, how it slants it, how it distorts it. And that, you know, we're still in development and we'll be launching maybe in a couple months or so. So
nice.
I've been spending a lot of my time on that. I'm also writing a couple children's books, and I've been writing a lot in different things. And, I'm always involved in different projects kind of like that. But those are the main things I've been focusing on recently.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. I mean, it's always great to hear what people are working on and seeing what they're doing. I mean, obviously we understand that, you know, a lot of things that, you know, are being worked on can't be really talked about until they, until
yeah.
they're announced and things like that. We appreciate
yeah.
that. You know, it is the way of the land, if you like. And,
but you can bet that, you know, once things are able to be shared, they will be shared, you know, through social media and the various means that we do that. So I'll be very excited when I can.
Fantastic.
Yeah, great.
Mm-hmm.
Well, again, thank you so much for your time tonight, Nikki. We're absolutely honored and blessed to have you with us here on Redshirt Geeks. Everybody be sure to check her out at blaster.com, because I guarantee you we're going to be watching everything on there that we can and sharing as much as we can. And also keep an eye out for her at PsyCon Tampa, which is September 26th through the 28th, and of course in Tampa, Florida. Again, so thank you very much, Nikki, for your time. And again, we hope to speak to you again soon.
Absolutely. Thank you. So are you going to be at PsyCon?
We're not, unfortunately. we had talked about it, but, you know, we didn't have enough time to sort of get ourselves organized that soon. So hopefully next go around when they're back, if they do it next year.
Sure thing. Or I'll have to come to Virginia, is it?
Absolutely.
Okay. So I'll keep an eye out for conventions in that area.
That's right. We do have Tidewater Comic Con. So
oh, cool.
Remember that. So yeah, absolutely. Okay. Again, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Red Shirt Geeks.
And that's all the time we have for this edition of the Red Shirt Geeks. I'm Laz Deed, the pseudo Kiwi,
and I'm Disembodied Dave,
and we are the Red Shirt Geeks, where every expendable hero has a home.
The Red Shirt Geeks podcast is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 International License. Permissions beyond the scope of this license may be available at redshirtgeeks.com.